Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, thank you for taking the time to join us. And as we always, it is always our prayer that something is said on our shows that will encourage you, that will inspire you, that will empower you, that will educate you and strengthen you for you to go out and do all that you've been called to do. So again, I welcome you in the studio on tonight. I am excited. Coach D is excited. And I know you might hear the strain in my voice. I've been traveling. I actually just landed not too long ago back in California. So I was on a 3-day fast clip. And in the natural, I am drained. But in the spiritual, I am pumped up, ready to go. I'm so in love with Jesus. And I know that could sound cliche, but I'm so in love with him. Because even when I blow it, even when I miss the mark, even when I'm not faithful, God is always faithful. He amazes me with his faithfulness. You know, when I'm thinking that I'm at the end of my rope and I can't hold on any longer, I guarantee you, for me, he always come at the right time and tie a knot in that rope before I slip down. So I am so in love with him, and I'm just thankful. And I get emotional at times when I think about his goodness, when I think about that I'm so unworthy in this flesh. There's no good thing, and I'm so unworthy, but yet and still he loves me. And in any time we begin to doubt, or any time we begin to allow our logic begin to lead and guide us, even as it pertains to, because logically we miss it all the time. Logically, our promises mean nothing. Logically, we don't keep our word. Logically, we'll tell God we're going to do this and we don't do it. We'll tell him that we're going to give up this and we don't give it up. We tell him that we're going to treat our temples better and we don't. We tell, you know, it's always tomorrow, Lord, I'll. Tomorrow, Lord, I'll. Tomorrow, Lord, I'll. And even in that, because he knows us, he knows, you know, you hear people often say, well, I'm not going to worry about it because God knows my heart. You are absolutely correct. God knows your heart. He knows that there's no good thing in our heart. He knows us. And all that he know about us because he created us. And everything that he know about us, yet he still loves us. Yet he's still faithful. Yet he's still consistent. Yet his promises are yea and amen. I mean to tell you that God, woo, Jesus, hallelujah. I tell you, I have this content. I don't even know how to go. I don't know how this show is going to go. I don't know what God is going to do on tonight. But what I will tell you is this. I am so in love with him. I'm so in love because what we desire in the natural, it came through what was already the desire in the spiritual. I'm going to say that again. What I'm desiring in the natural, the things that I desire in the natural, all of us desire to be loved. All of us desire to feel safe and secure. That's what we desire. But don't you know that if we're desiring it in the natural, that's because it's a desire in the spiritual? What are you saying, Coach D? What I'm saying to you is that the spiritual supersedes the natural. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 tells us that. Because in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, we're being told how to pray. And in verse 10, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Not how it will be in heaven or how it should be in heaven, but it says as it is, already done, completed work on the seventh day he rests. Hallelujah. It's already done. And so everything that you need, everything that you desire has already been done, but it's up to us to work it. It's up to us to work that thing from the spiritual into the natural. And so most of us have not because we ask not. We're walking around and it's almost like we have all the resources and tools at our fingertips, but we haven't learned how to convert these things over so that when we speak things that we could begin to see the manifestation, that we'll begin to build good habits of getting the desires of our heart. I would say that we have to build a habit of getting the desires of our heart. Now, there are some buts to that, because Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 through 14 tells us it's some conditions. God's promises come with conditions. The first condition is that he got to be your God. He got to be your God. But then if you look throughout his word, his inspired word, it tells you conditions. Deuteronomy 28 tells us that if we, what? Hearken diligently. Hearken, that means listen. Be still and listen diligently. Not pretend to attend. Not selective attend. But he's saying listen diligently so that you can hear his voice and you'll know that it's God. And he said, if we hearken diligently, but not just be what? Hearers of the word. He said, but if we hearken diligently and obey his word, those desires will overtake us. Those blessings will overtake us. Do you know what overtake look like? It's not just a touch. It's just not a sprinkle. But if you ever been out running errands, And the forecast said that there was a chance of rain, and that chance was about 60%. And you woke up that morning, the sun was shining, but the forecast said that we had a 60% of chance of rain by 1 p.m., and you're out trying to get all your errands done, and you go into the grocery store, and you have a basket full of groceries, and you come out, and it's pouring. We are in a storm and the rain is pouring. You get overtaken. You get drenched. You get soaking wet. That's overtaken. And God is saying that his blessings will overtake us, that we won't have room enough to hold it all. And so that's not even the show tonight, but I had to go there. Evidently, the Holy Spirit had that for somebody. Somebody need to hear those words. But tonight I want to talk about, we're going to talk about disaster relief. When the world around us is in a state of emergency. And so that is tonight's show. The other part, somebody, I hope you got it. I hope that was the word that you were praying about, that you were asking God about, because things just seemed that you were just not experiencing the blessings and promises of God. So hopefully you got your word. But we're going to go into disaster relief. Now, why am I dealing with disaster relief? Well, for the last 3 days, I've been in New Orleans, and I have attended a disaster relief conference. And I went there on business, so this wasn't a ministry trip. But I went there on business, and I listened to the various workshops and the seminars and the panels and listening. And what they were talking about was the buzzwords were resilience and continuity. And continuity is pre, meaning what's your plan of action? Should there be a disaster, what will be your plan of action? And then resilience is how do we bounce back? It's post-disaster. How do we bounce back after the disaster? And so I'm there and I'm listening, and anybody that know Coach D know that I don't claim to be, nor do I have a passion for sales, but I'm pushing. I'm pushing past my discomfort. And so I'm listening to what everyone is saying, and you know, you got people on the local level, and you have people on the government level, and they're speaking about disaster and what's the plan of actions, and you know, and they're listing the four actions that the local government take when a disaster occurs. And I know some of this might sound boring, but I'm going somewhere with this. Just stay with me. Fasten in your seatbelt and just say, Coach D, just repeat after me, Coach D, I'm going to hang in here with you on tonight. I'm not going anywhere. Amen. So they're talking about disaster relief, and so they said, well, list four actions the local government take when a disaster occurs, and the first is they provide initial emergency response. So that's the first action. The second action is they coordinate the response with public and private organizations. The third is they notify the state emergency management of the scope of the situation, what all is taking place here. And then the fourth is they activate mutual aid, and they proclaim a local state of emergency and request assistance from the state. Now, if the state can handle what's going on, if the state is not in a situation financially and resources and tools to handle that emergency, if it's at a large scale. You know, we've seen some large-scale emergencies. We've seen it with the fires in California, the floods at Katrina, some of the other floods back in the Carolinas. We've seen natural disasters where it was beyond. It went over and beyond what the state was capable of doing. And anytime that's a situation, then it becomes a federal declaration, and this becomes a federal emergency. And so at that point is normally when you see the Coast Guards and different government agencies that will step in, FEMA and different agencies step in to begin to aid and relief. And so as I was listening to all that takes place and all the preparation that takes place and some of the preparation that haven't taken place, because as we see, we've seen some disasters, and one that keeps coming to mind for me is Katrina, because we watched that on TV unfold. We watched it unfold, and we've seen that there was a misses. There was some lack of preparation. We've seen that people were without water, without clothing. Some people were sitting on the roofs of their house for days before they got rescued, and bodies were floating down the street. And I'm hoping I'm painting a picture, and I'm not trying to be gory, but I want you to see the significance of this thing. And so now there, you know, because of Katrina, I would believe there's been a lot of natural disasters internationally as well as nationally. But I'm just saying nationally, Katrina was a big one. We know 9/11 was a big one, but we're saying that we really seen that us here in the United States, that we were lacking some things, that our plan of action, our continuity plan was not in place. And so we've seen that, and because of that, now you're seeing these different conferences taking place. You're seeing it on a larger scale where people are saying, we want to be prepared. We want to use Katrina as an example of what we don't want to happen again. So we want to prepare. We want to make sure we have everything in place. We want to make sure that we have systems in place so that we don't have to be reactive. We could be proactive so that when this disaster hit, we're not trying to figure out what we're going to do next. We're not trying to figure out what we're going to do if there's a mass casualty where bodies are laying around. We need to get these bodies up. We need to get them out the way quickly. We need to make sure that we have a good supply of water and food rations for the people who don't have access to that. We need to make sure that we're partnering with other private sectors, private businesses, to make sure that we have places for people to stay, whether it be the local church or whether it be the stadium or whether it be a school. We need to make sure we're partnering now. We want to have these things in place. Amen. So as we were going through that, and I was preparing myself for my show tonight, and I was like, okay, this week I was like, okay, Lord, what is it that you would have me to tell your people? And I was praying and waiting, and I kept hearing disaster relief, and I'm saying, okay, I'm just hearing this because I was at the show. But God did. He told me, talk about disaster relief. So then he tells me, as it is in the spiritual, so it should be in the natural. And so what I learned this week, I took that, the natural, and I began to understand it from a spiritual standpoint. And so that led me to say, when the world around us is in a disaster, when the world around us is in a emergency situation, when we're spiritually going through some things, What should we be doing? And so then as I began to study, God took me to various scriptures, and he took me to various places in the Bible to start helping me understand that even in the spiritual, there should be a foundation of preparedness. And it goes way back to the beginning of time. It goes way back. There are principles that are found in the Bible that help us to prepare spiritually for things to come. And so he took me to Noah. And as we all know, that Noah didn't wait until it started raining to build an ark. He didn't wait until it started raining. But he was hearkening diligently. He was vertically aligned. And no matter what Noah may have looked like in the natural, people in the natural thought that Noah was crazy. Why do you say that, Coach D? Well, I'm just using some, we know logic is in rebellion of faith, but I want to speak to your logic right now. Because we have a whole bunch of Noahs in the earth, but we call them crazy. Oh, that's just crazy Johnny. Oh, that's just loose Mary, whatever we want to call them. But I often wonder how the people perceive Noah. They had never heard of rain. They had never seen rain. But yet this man, who everybody know often went to the liquor store to buy his wine because he enjoyed drinking his wine, and sometimes he drank too much wine. So for them, Noah might have just been the town drunk. They may have not seen Noah as he didn't hold the power and the authority, so what he said had no authority. So as he began to tell people what was being downloaded into him about this thing called rain, people were laughing at him. Thank God his family knew him, and they knew that in spite of his fleshly things, in spite of his misses, in spite of his maybe at times being unfaithful, that they knew that he was honorable. And they trusted when he told them what God was telling him, they trusted that. So they began the journey. They began to hearken diligently to God. And this had to be a risk he was taking. And we've experienced that in the natural, in this time and age where God told us something. God may have told you to start a business. God may have told you that within a year you're going to have a home. But your FICO score didn't line up to that. Your finances didn't line up to that. You had no knowledge about how to do a business plan, but it kept dropping in your spirit that this is what God was telling you was going to happen. Some of us is desiring for a mate, and it's been years, and we know that God told us that that's going to happen, but there's nothing on the horizons. When we look out in the natural, we see absolutely nothing. So you could imagine with Noah, he's never heard of rain, he's never seen rain, and yet he's being told this thing is going to come and it's going to take over the land, and I'm just going to wash out all the people. We're going to do this thing over. Can you really imagine what could have possibly been going through his mind? Nevertheless, he continued to be obedient and faithful, and he did exactly what God told him to do. And if you ever go back and read the story of Noah, I'm talking about it was detailed. It wasn't just go get some wood, go get some straw, go get this and pull it together. It was detailed in what he was, the instructions that he was given to begin to build this ark that was going to keep him, his family, and the selective animals that he brought aboard that was going to keep them alive. Genesis chapter 6:21 says, "And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them." So it was as a matter of fact. So not only are you gathering animals, but you got to gather enough animals so that you and your family can eat. But not only you and your family, you got to make sure that these other animals eat. You got to make sure that they survive this trip, this journey. Because when this journey is over, all that's on this boat is all you're going to have. And you're going to have to start all over. Can you imagine that? finding out that you're going to be the only people left on the earth. So we now know that Noah didn't wait. He began to make preparation. He pre-planned. He listened. He hearkened diligently, and he moved accordingly. Then it says, the Bible goes on to tell us that not just in the preparation, as I was telling you, as we talked about hearken diligently and obeying, it says the wise prepare, the fools go blindly ahead to suffer the consequences. How many of us have done that? I know I have. How many of us have not prepared and we just moved blindly through and it came with great cost? There's a saying. There's an old saying that I remember that I used to be told, and it was, if you fail the plan, you plan to fail. If you fail the plan, you plan to fail. And so that would be the same as the wise prepare, the fools go blindly ahead. And it speaks about that in Proverbs, the 27th chapter, verses 12. And it says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So throughout Proverbs, it's telling us about wisdom. It tells us about wisdom, and it speaks of wisdom in the feminine. You know, it always says her, wisdom, she, you know. And so it's telling us that we have to prepare. The concept of preparedness is nothing new. It really is nothing new. In fact, it's long before we hear about the preppers and the survivalists. We hear all that stuff now in the 21st century. But see, that's not new. And the Word of God tells us there's nothing new up under the sun. They had preppers in the biblical days and survivors, people that was preparing. You know, they had John the Baptist. If you want to think about it, he was a prepper and a survivalist. He lived in the woods, you know, and he was, you know, scraggly, and he ate honey and locusts. That's what he survived off of, and he was preparing people. He was a prepper because he was preparing people for the coming. For the coming of Jesus. And so that was his life mission. So he was also preparing. But what people thought, he was just crazy John. You know, that's just old crazy John. He homeless. He homeless, you know. He out there eating bugs. Think about it. If we knew somebody right now, how many of us have driven downtown Los Angeles or downtown in whatever metropolitan city you live in, and we've driven downtown and we see these homeless people, and they are not bathed, and they may have a certain stench about them, and they may be eating out the trash can, and in the natural we look and we and we don't, you know, we get kind of finicky, don't want to get too close, you know, we don't know what you got. And we do that. But have any of you ever taken the time to talk to some of them? To really, not just talk to them, but to really hear what they say? Because there's a statistic that says that a lot of these people that's homeless, you wouldn't believe how many doctors and lawyers and people that were professionals at some time in their life that are these people that we see that are homeless that we think are just dumb or stupid or uneducated. Some of these people were people that had professional jobs, you know, that were making six-figure incomes, and either by illness or by a bad decision, they're now in the situation that they're in, and they're finding that that a great deal of it is because of mental illness. Mental illness. So I'm just saying, when you think about these people, I want you to start trying to look at them from a different perspective. And I'm bringing up people in the Bible, like the Noahs in the Bible, that I'm sure the locals in that time and era thought he was crazy. I'm sure that the locals in that time and era thought John the Baptist was crazy. These are people, you know, that people probably thought were just crazy, like we do today. And so now we can start looking at people from a different perspective and just maybe considering, I wonder what they hear on the day-to-day. I wonder what their communication is with God. I wonder, are they preparing for the next coming? Because there will be that. The Bible encourages the wise man to study the dangers ahead and then take precautions to protect themselves and their families from those threats. Again, we're talking continuity, preparing, being proactive, seeing what the things are to come. Now, why am I mentioning this? Because I could say this about, we have a new election. There are some things that have taken place. There are some decisions that's being made. We don't understand. The people are in a state of fear right now because they don't understand what's going on. That's in the natural. But like I said, the natural the spiritual supersedes the natural. So if this stuff is going on in the natural, what do you think may be going on in the spiritual realm? Do you think that there's been some preparation from the foundation of the earth that has been laid out for a time such as this? What's going, if all this is going on down here, what you think has already been done in heaven? What you think is going on? Men and women of God, you better start preparing. You better start looking at the threats ahead. And preparing. What am I saying by preparing? I'm not simply just saying preparing in the natural, going out and storing up on water and food. That's a good idea, making sure you have batteries and that you have a flashlight and that you have survival tools for you and your family. Should something happen? Should we be knocked off grid? What does grid mean? That means what if you could not plug into your power source? What if you had no auxiliary? What would you do? How long do you think a candle is going to burn for? I mean, that's good initially, but how long will that candle burn? But you might get 6 hours in. So there are some preparations. You're going to go get your flashlights. You're going to go make sure that you have a good supply of batteries. You may even start trying to figure out ways that you could begin to go green and transfer to solar power. You might start looking up certain companies to find out if they have solar power water makers or solar power refrigeration, so that if we become off-grid, you no longer have auxiliary. Now you know that you don't have to worry about that, because as long as there's some daylight, that this solar energy will produce some energy that could keep some things cold, that could keep some things refrigerated, that could freeze some things if you need it. People are preparing. People are beginning to grow their own gardens. People are starting to look at life more holistic. They're changing their eating patterns. They're going more what they call live foods. The live foods is your vegetables and your fruits. They're getting away from the processed foods that's causing a lot of health issues, that's dragging and keeping and slowing people down and producing disorder in our bodies. You know, the Word of God, you know, it tells us about our temples, but do you know that God designed us in such a way that our bodies can truly heal themselves, that our bodies can function properly, but it's what we're putting into them? I mean, there's enough on the outside that's beyond our control when we talk about the pollution in the air and different things that we're breathing in on a day-to-day, but there's some things that we can do. That helps us in that area. Well, guess what? Not just in the natural, in the spiritual. There's things that we could do to prepare. What's the first thing that we could do to prepare? The first thing is knowing the Word of God and what the Word of God is telling us. It's prophetic. It's telling us about things to come. It's telling us what to expect. Read Matthew. Matthew is telling us what to expect. When you start hearing this, and hearing wars and rumors of wars, and it talks about, you know, people's hearts, their love, waxing cold, growing cold, family against family, mothers against daughters, and it's telling you all these things, and we're looking, and you begin to see the signs of time, and for you to begin to see the signs of time and not prepare through prayer, through worship, through praise, through intimate connection with God, so that you can hear what it is that he's telling you to do, so that you'll be prepared to do what he's called you to do. Because he said, in these times, we're going to be easily, if we don't know, if we're not in relationship, if you're not in relationship, because there's a lot of people that's reading the Bible. There's a lot of people that's reading the Bible logically. And guess what? They're still not going to be prepared. Because if they're reading the Bible from a logical standpoint and they don't have the very presence of God in them, that anointing that breaks the yoke, that revelation that comes only through relationship with God, if they don't understand, it could be just come a lot of words, a lot of thus and thous, and you still may not be prepared. So I say that first thing is relationship. That's spending time with him, the quiet time, time in his word, asking him to reveal to you what does it mean, Lord? What does it mean in when it says in Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven? How many of you, prior to your intimate relationship with God, read that scripture a million times and you really didn't understand? And you didn't really understand what it meant. You knew it had something to do with the kingdom of God. You knew it had something to do with heaven and earth. But you really didn't understand that it's saying that what's already done in heaven, we're supposed to be praying that manifests here on earth. And so it's important for us to have a relationship to understand the word, to begin to prepare. So first of all, it's relationship. Then it's saying relationship through worship, through the word, through prayer, through praise. Those are the things that we need to do, because as we get closer to God, then he begins to reveal himself to us. You've been in a relationship before where you met someone. Let me say you met someone you were interested in, and you got in a relationship with that person, and you begin to spend time. And you know how it is when it's brand new. It's brand new, you're in love. And when you're in love, what we do? We sit on the phone for hours. And we talk about everything and anything. It's good conversation. We then went from spiritual things, you know, about the spiritual things. We spoke about political things. We talked about our families. We talked about the desires of our heart, where we see ourselves in 5 years and 10 years. You talk about that when you meet somebody that's of interest, and you just spend a lot of time in conversation, and you're starting to know that person. You're starting to learn that person. You're starting to see what that person is made out of. You begin to see what their expectations are, and you're just passing knowledge back and forth, and you're learning, and you begin to build a bond, and it's called a relationship. And as that relationship grows, and you know, you determine where you're going to put this. Is this relationship a friendship? Will this relationship become a marriage? You know, what is going to become? A business partner? You begin to categorize what type of relationship this is based on spending time with the person. And so once you've decided that, now you've bonded with the person. You know the person. You kind of have a basic perception of the person. So there begins, and depending on how much time you spend with the person, then you know the person's character. You know their personality. And it's the same way with God. The more time we spend with him, the more we understand him. The more we understand what his expectations are of us. As we read his word, we understand his love for us becomes more evident as we get to know him. And so these are the ways that this is what we have to do to begin to prepare. We got to know. We got to know him. And we got to begin to spiritually prepare through prayer and through the word, and really getting a chance to know, who is God? What does he want from me? What is he expecting? What should I be doing, Lord? What does your word say? What should I be preparing with? The wise man takes food storage seriously, because in the natural, we know that a disaster, you don't want to get caught in a disaster with no water and food. You don't. You know, That short-term disaster, food supplies can be cut off in an instant, just like that. And then you know if you're not preparing, if a disaster is getting ready to hit, and we all know when they talk about a storm coming, people wait until they get that warning. We know it's going to come. You know a disaster is going to happen. It's not if it's going to happen. It's when. So we already know disasters are going to happen. We just don't know when. And if you wait until a day before, 2 days before, a week before, or the day of a disaster to go out and get your supplies, guess what? You may not be able to make it to the store depending on what type of disaster it is. And if you get warning of a tornado or a hurricane 2 days before it hits, you're liable to walk into the store and the shelves are empty because guess what? The wise man went and got his supplies ahead of time. He prepared while the fool sat at home twiddling his thumbs, and he didn't prepare. So when he walked in to get his supplies, they may not be there. That counter may, the shelves may be empty. And so it's saying be prepared. Make sure that you got your supplies. Don't sit and wait and think, well, it's not going to happen, or I don't have to worry about that today. Yes, you have to worry about that today in the natural and the spiritual. In the natural, do what you need to do. In the spiritual, you should be prepared. Guys, guess what? A disaster don't have to be on a natural, on a national basis. From a spiritual standpoint, a disaster could be a loss of a loved one. Were you prepared? We see that a lot of people are not prepared when a loved one is lost. Sometimes a loved one didn't leave a will. They didn't leave a trust. They didn't leave instructions. Oftentimes they may have had an insurance policy, but you don't know because they never told you. They didn't leave instructions to let you know where it's at. So you see families out washing cars and selling barbecue dinners, trying to bury their loved one because they didn't prepare. Because nobody wanted to talk about death. Why are you worried about that? Because it's gonna happen. Just like you born, you're gonna die. Just like you entered the world, you're gonna leave the world. So it's gonna happen. You know, hopefully it'll happen at rapture, and then you don't have to worry about anything. But until that time, it's gonna happen. Are you prepared? Or have you stuck your head in the sand and said, you know what? I don't want to deal with this. It's insurance. Amen. It's insurance. You want to make sure that you're prepared. You want to make sure that your loved ones know what to do should that happen. Should God call you home, make sure they know what to do. Amen. So in the natural, we know that with the food supply and your water and different things, you want to be prepared. In the spiritual, we want to make sure we're prepared. We want to make sure that that we're spiritually sound. First of all, we want to make sure. You know, once we've accepted Jesus Christ, we want to make sure that our loved ones have accepted the plan of salvation. And that's what God wants us to do, not just our loved ones, but the world as a whole. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be going and bringing people into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, bringing them into the knowledge of the gospel. That's the Great Commission. So we're supposed to be out preparing people. We're supposed to be prepping people, making sure that they're spiritually ready for whatever is to come. Their disaster could be sickness in their body. We see people every day that's diagnosed with some type of sickness. And guess what? If they're prepared, when that sickness comes, they'll be able to battle it. They'll be able to win the battle because they'll have enough ammunition. They'll have enough word in them. They'll have enough prayer in them. They'll have enough praise in them to get through whatever it is that comes before them, this disaster. It's called emergency management. I'm managing that emergency before it comes. And in a spiritual sense, that's being spiritually fed, spiritually on fire. Your cup should be so full that when those things come, you're ready to battle them. Because when you're empty, you can't do anything. When a disaster comes and you empty, you can't do anything. If you don't know what word to stand on when a disaster comes, you don't know how to stand. And guess what? If you can't stand, then you'll fall. So you need to know what, you know, if a sickness comes, then you know how to stand on God's word. And I say this and you hear this, but he says in his word that he sent it. And I'm being redundant, but that's okay, because if I keep being redundant and I keep saying it, if I keep saying it, then when that thing comes, guess what? You're going to hear it. You're going to hear it, and then you're going to begin to speak it. And as you speak it, you'll believe it. And as you begin to believe it, you'll stand on it. And you'll know God sent his word to heal my disease, and I'm healed by his stripes. And you'll begin to stand on that. And you'll begin to meditate on that word. And that word will become rhema for you. And that will be the word that will get you through the situation. The word. And I have to work on that. You have to work on that. We got to work on the words that we're speaking, that we're standing on, that we believe. Whatever word you believe, that's the word that's going to manifest. And that's just not religious talk. This whole world was formed on words in the beginning. Genesis 1, it tells us, in the beginning. It said God spoke and it was. He spoke and it was. He spoke and it was. And it was, and it was good. So everything that was created by words. You are words housed in flesh. So we have to know. We have to be prepared. We have to spend time. We have to spend time in his word so that we get to know his character. Spend time in with him so that we be prepared for anything that will come about. Proverbs 21:20, the wise store up choice food and olive oil. Proverbs 21:20, it tells us the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. So even when I read that, what came to mind was about when the groom came and the candles and the lamps and the virgins, and some of them weren't prepared. They was out partying, and by the time he came, because they didn't have oil in their lamps, he came, they got left behind. In essence, they got locked out of the ceremony because they weren't prepared. They were foolish, you know. A man that's not going to prepare in the natural for disasters when you've seen so many disasters around you. You know, most of us say, well, that didn't happen to me. It didn't happen to me. And, you know, they said that in the conference. They said that the best people for preparation for disasters is those who's already been through disaster. And so I don't want to be the one that have to go through the disaster before I prepare. I want to be prepared because I want to be wise enough to see ahead of time, to see some of the things that's gone on around me. I seen the Northridge earthquake. It didn't affect me like that, but I still seen it. I seen Katrina. I seen 9/11. I seen some of these hurricanes on the Florida coast. I've seen disaster. I've seen enough disaster that would tell me, guess what? I don't want to get caught off guard in this disaster. So in the spiritual, I've seen enough disaster. I've seen people leave here prematurely by some decisions that they've made, some foolish decisions. I've seen people that left that I don't know if they accepted the plan of salvation. I've seen people that left that didn't believe that there was a heaven or a hell, you know. And I can't tell you today where they went. I only could go by what the word of God is telling me, and I believe that. So I don't want to be ill-prepared. I want to make sure that I'm spiritually aligned. I want to make sure, I want to make sure that I have the plan of salvation, that I'll have eternal life. I want to be prepared for whatever takes place. I want to be strong, and I want to stand strong in the faith. You know, we're living in times where being a human and standing strong seems to be frowned upon. You know, being a believer and just standing is stuff that people are frowned. It's a joke. We see it. Social media, regular media, everywhere you look, it's a joke. Believers, We're believers, and people are taking that as a joke, to believe in Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with God right now. The world around us is a joke to them. It's a joke because they've taken the word of God and they're twisting it and turning it. They're twisting it and turning it to suit needs. And I'm saying those who don't believe, or those that say they believe, but they're being disobedient. They're not following the will and the word of God. You know, you don't have to use God's word if you don't want to follow it. If you don't believe marriage is between man and woman, then why use the term marriage? Create your own thing. Union. Let's join together. Why'd have to be married? The word of God speaks about marriage. You know, that God came up with that. It'd be just like if you made rules in your house. You know, this is your house. You make the rules in your house, and then somebody else come into your house and say, I'm going to change your rules. I don't like that you put your forks in this drawer. So I'm gonna take all your, matter of fact, I don't even like that you put your forks and plates in the kitchen. I'm just going to pack them all up and put them in the garage because I'd rather have them in the garage. Well, who does that? Who comes into somebody else's house and begin to rearrange their house? Because they don't like it, but it's not their house. Amen? The same thing with the word of God. People are going in and changing the word and making it fit for them, but that's God's word. That comes from the very mind of God. And if that comes from the very mind of God, who are we to go in and decide we're going to change it and make it okay to fit what we want it to be? That's ludicrous. I mean, who does that? But people are doing it. It was funny because I seen so many things when I was in New Orleans, and I'm not going to even get into the different things I seen, but I seen so many things when I was in New Orleans, and only thing I could think of is, man, this city is just too much for me. It's just overwhelming for me, and it was sad. It was really sad, but this is the place that everybody want to go to. Everybody want to be on Bourbon Street. Everybody want to be in Canal Street. Everybody want to be in New Orleans. And I'm not. And if somebody's on the phone from New Orleans, it's not a disrespect. I'm just saying, you know, you live there. You know what goes on in that little area called the French Quarter. I mean, there's another part to Louisiana, but you know what goes on there. And probably the same things. It's probably worse than what may be going on in Vegas, because Vegas is a little bit more spread. And French Quarter is just this little tight area where everything is just right there, you know. And so I just wonder how many of those people that's there that's prepared for disaster, or would they get caught up in the disaster and then there'd be panic, you know, panic because now they're reacting versus being proactive. And we want to say 1 Corinthians chapter 16:13 tells us, be on the alert and stand firm in your faith. Act like men. Be strong. Now, that says men, act like men, be strong. I'm going to say act like believers and be strong. Be aware, be alert. Don't let society dull your senses. I'm going to say that again. Don't let society dull your senses, because what happens is we get so caught up watching TV and watching the news and hearing all the controversy and all the things that's going on, and we've seen it happen, especially with the elections. I'm bringing that up because that's society, that's political affairs, and we've gotten so caught up, and still this is not stopped. The hate, the bitterness, the anger, the fear is still just as prevalent today, March, as it was in November. People are scared. People are angry. And I don't even know so much that they're angry, but fear produces the spirit of anger. They're cousins. They're the same. That one produces the other, and they find strength in each other. And so people are scared, and society is causing them to dull their senses, their spiritual sense. That spiritual sense of a knowing is leaving a lot of people in this time, because people are getting too consumed and too caught up on what Trump is doing and what Trump ain't doing, what the Russians is doing and what the Russians ain't doing. And I'm not saying that you can't be aware of those things, and prepare spiritually. How else can you prepare? By worrying? By complaining? By being angry? By being mad? Or do you prepare by praying and staying alert like the watchman? I never heard in the Bible where it said the watchman doesn't even speak. At least every watchman that they spoke about in the Bible, they never spoke. They just watched. They quietly watched. They stayed alert. And so I'm telling you, watch and pray. Pray and watch. Stay alert. Don't become dull. Don't get drawn in to the cares of this world. Don't get drawn into who's saying what and who's signing what. Just stay alert. Pray and watch. Because at the end of the day, God got the final say. He got the final say about our health plans. He got the final say about our education. See, a lot of things that's important to us ain't even important to God. We get caught up in the world things. I want to, you know, I got to have this, and I want to have a good education, and I want to have a FICO score of 900, and I want to have a this, and I want to have a that. Those are things that's important to us as in the flesh, as humans. Some of that stuff, it don't even matter. At the end of the day, it's not going to matter. Because at the end of the day, none of this stuff you can take with you. You didn't bring it with you. When you were born into this world, you're not going to be able to take it with you. So sometimes we just get focused. We get so focused on the wrong things that our senses become dull. And then we have problems and cares and concerns we're caught up in the modern culture. We become the living dead. We're walking zombies, blindly chasing immorality and worldly passions and worldly things, while we're totally checking out the real world. We just, you know, we're just blinded with lust and greed, and we just become blind to the very dangers that's out there. The danger is that because I want a 3,000 square foot home and I want a 3-car garage, I only got one car, maybe two, but I want a 3-car garage because I gotta have it. Because the Joneses have it, and I want 3,000 square feet house up on the hill, and it's going to cost me $900,000, but I only make $80,000 a year. You see the problem with that? So now I got to work day and night and night and day to provide for the things I want, not what I need, but what I want. And as a result of me working hard for the things I want, my children, who are still school age, are becoming lock key. What's lock key? Lock key are kids that come home from school. There's no parents home, and they come home from school, and the parent is expected for them to sit down to a snack and do their homework. You can't do that no more, not in this society. Not with the technology, because guess what? Your 9-year-old is going to come home. They know how to come home. They know how to lock the door behind them. They know how not to answer the door for a stranger. But while we're trying to protect them for the strangers that's on the outside of the house, what about the strangers that's on the inside? And it's called a computer. It's called cable TV. It's called video games. Don't you know that those strangers, those are the enemies that's taking our children out in this 21st century? While we're working hard trying to make sure we provide them with more of that kind of stuff, I got to work hard because I got to have the Xbox, and I have to have the Wii, and I have to have the 3DS, and I have to have an iPhone, and the Galaxy, and the laptop, and the tablet, and the iPad. And so we want all of this stuff, and we work hard, overtime, two jobs to get this stuff that's destroying the very essence of family. Because we don't sit down at the dinner table no more and talk about how the day went. We don't sit down and we don't even question who our kids' friends are anymore. Who is Johnny? What's his mama's last name? Where they come from? We don't, do people even still go over to their kids' friends' house to see what their house is like? To see if you could pick up the spirit of what's there, what's going on in that house? How we know what Johnny's dad been through? He may have just did 12 years in prison. That don't make him a bad person. But what if he did 12 years in prison and had to experience some things there that he brought home with him? These are the things you need to know. No, you don't have to judge him because he went to prison, but you need to meet him. You need to spend some time with him. You need to see what Johnny's psychological environment is at home. That's called preparation, preparing, being prepared. Amen. Well, I think I went on one on tonight. Amen. Amen. I do want to take an opportunity to ask my listening audience, if you are listening in on tonight's show and you have a question or a comment, you might just have a comment about tonight's show. Maybe something, just bear witness with you. Dial one on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment, and we'll bring you right in. I love to hear feedback. Oftentimes, my feedback comes after the show. I don't get a lot of feedback on the show, and that's fine. I wish I did get more feedback on the show, but I do oftentimes get feedback after the shows. If there are topic subject matters that you would like to hear on future shows, please feel free to inbox me, text me, message me, and let me know what topics are important to you. What topics that you would like to hear about on Processing the Pain? What guests that you might like to see on Processing the Pain? We would love to hear from you, because without you, there's no Processing the Pain. There's no show Processing the Pain. And this show is being produced for you to be able to process through life's pain, for you to be prepared and encouraged. Just be encouraged, you know, because we know that it's not easy, and we know you're in constant warfare with the flesh and the spirit. We're constantly in warfare. I'm constantly in warfare. Anybody that's still in this flesh is going to be in warfare. But when you know that you're in war, then you're going to come prepared for war. And I think the problem is that we, as believers specifically, we got into this, I don't know, this name it, claim it, these kind of things, and we some kind of way we left our gear at home, and we're walking around, and we want to pretend or act like that we're not in a spiritual warfare, and we are. We're in spiritual warfare. We're in war. And anybody in the natural, matter of fact, my plane landed today, and I had to sit on the plane for almost almost 30 minutes because we had a fallen soldier was on the plane, you know, in the below compartment. And so when we pulled up at the airport, they let everyone know, when we pull up, please stay in your seats. Don't, keep your seatbelts on, stay in your seats, because we want to give this soldier respect. And when I looked out the window as we pulled up, they had military in uniform, in position. They had the police in uniform, in position. I mean, they just put on a full production for this body that they were bringing out, this fallen soldier. And I looked and I thought, it was so beautiful, and it was just amazing that they did this, you know. And I was just so, at that very moment, just for a brief moment, because I'm proud to be a Christian, but at that brief moment, I thought, wow, things like this make you feel proud to be an American. And but I couldn't help but scratch my head and think, even though I thought that was a great thing, that they were honoring this man who was serving our country and was killed in the line of duty, and I thought that was awesome. But I couldn't help but scratch my head, because I thought about the veterans that come back from the military, and they come back into what they call the world of the civilian world, and many of them could barely survive. Many of them can't get good jobs. Many of them are sick with health issues, and they're barely being taken care of. A lot of them are homeless, or they come back mentally injured or physically injured. And so I thought, man, you know, we could give the same reverence to the ones that's living, who served and made it back with their lives, but then they come back to and have to deal with some other stuff that they should not have to, maybe we should give the same reverence. So I'm not going to get on a spill about that because I could go there too. But with just saying all that to say is that the military thing is that we have to be prepared. You know, nobody's going to go, you know, nobody in the natural would go to war and not have weapons that will not be dressed accordingly and be prepared and have the right stuff that they need, because they're going to go into the jungles or the forests or wherever they're in the desert, and they're going to have to fight against the enemy, and they have to be prepared. They've been trained. They go through boot camp, and even after boot camp, they graduate basic training. Then they got to go through more training, and then more training, then more training. They start learning what some of the tactics of the enemy. And so that's the same thing with us. How do you know the tactics of the enemy? How do you know how he attacks you? You don't know unless you get into the Word of God so that you can begin to know. So when you get attacked or you see the attack coming, you know how to fight against it. You know how to fight against it. When your mind, when the enemy begins to play tricks with your mind, and now you start having these bad thoughts in your mind about stuff, and you in spiritual warfare, and your mind is racing, and you're fighting. You're in there and you're struggling, but you don't know how to fight it. You don't know that the Word of God tells us that we should cast down vain imaginations and anything that attempts to exalt itself against the knowledge of God's Word. And see, when you speak the Word, because the power in the Word, when you know the Word, I'm not just saying just speak it, but to know it, and you got it deep in your soul, in your spirit. And when you speak that Word from the Spirit, the very presence of God that lives on the inside of you, greater is Him on the inside of you than the battles on the outside. But when you speak that Word and you speak it with authority, guess what? The enemy got to flee. The enemy got to flee. And don't think for one minute that the enemy know when you're playing games. The enemy know when you're playing games. He knows when you're playing games. You know, he said it in the Word of God. He said, I know Peter, and I know these people. But who are you? Who are you? And I don't know if many of you remember that story about the brother that was going and trying to cast out demons, and the demons came back and told him, we know the real deal, but we don't know who are you. And they turned around and jumped on these brothers, and jumped on them, something bad. So I'm just saying, be connected, know the Word, be ready, be prepared, be prepared, be prepared. That's all I can tell you. But I'm not going to take this any further. I just wanted to make sure that I got this out to you and just tell you to be prepared. We're in some times right now. There are some things going on in the spiritual realm, and we're seeing some of the manifestations in the natural. We need to be prepared. You need to know what to expect in these days. You need to know, and this is not to produce a spirit of fear on you, but this is saying be prepared, be alert, pray and watch, know what's going on around you. Don't, you know, it's called disaster, you know, emergency management. Emergency management, so that when the disaster comes, there you have relief. You have relief because you prepared. Amen. So again, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us every week on Thursdays at 7 p.m. We appreciate your continual support. We pray that something was said on tonight that was a blessing to you, that provoked thought, if nothing else, that will prepare you for the times to come, both in the natural and in the spiritual. I pray that the will of God manifests in your lives so that it would be done on earth as it's already done in heaven. God created you for great things, for His kingdom. And so I'm praying that you are walking in what He's created you to be, that you don't get so consumed with the things of this world that you forget what you were created to be and what you were created to do, which is really first and foremost this kingdom business, because again, the spiritual supersedes the natural. And so when we're lined up doing the things that God has called us to do in the spiritual realm, it doesn't take away from the natural things, but it makes living this natural life a little easier, you know, because you're not surprised, you're not overtaken by the things of the natural world. You can begin to just trust God that He's working all things together for your good. What the enemy meant for bad, God turned it around. And you can begin to realize that because you know His word. And so you can speak His word in every situation. Doesn't mean that you won't have meltdowns. My family know I have my meltdowns, you know, and sometimes things just get overwhelming and I have to scream. You know, but I praise God that even on those times of screaming or falling down, that I get back up. It's not an option for me to stay on the ground. It's not an option for me to lay there and die. That's just not an option for me. I have to keep going. I have to keep, you know, I have to keep doing what God's called me to do. Everything inside of me on tonight could have said, you know what, I'm tired, and I just want to lay down and give me some rest and spend some time with my family. But that's not an option for me because I have to be a steward over this that He's given me. And again, whether it be one person or 100 people that sign in on Thursday nights or on Tuesday nights, it doesn't matter because that one person may need to hear what God is saying on that particular night. And so I have to be diligent and a good steward over it. In the spiritual, just like in the natural, we got jobs. And when we have jobs and we're getting paid to do a job, that we got to go and do that job. And sometimes we may not even like the job that we're doing. But we have, you know, but if we're going to continue to receive the pay, we need to do the job, amen? And we need to be integral in doing our job. So it's the same thing with the Lord. When He called us to do a job, when He's called us to a ministry, when He's called you to pastor or minister or teach or preach, whatever it is that He's called you to do, be a good steward. You don't have the option to lay down because the people won't show up. You don't have the option to lay down because the people don't like you. Or they don't like what you say. You don't have that option. You got to do what God's called you to do, even when it's not popular. Even when it's not popular, you still got to do it. And so, on that note, I just want you to all know that you are loved and appreciated. And I look forward to spending another hour with you on next Thursday on Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. Love you.